Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com. MidwayUSA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
Alright, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast with Kevin and Chuck. Today, we're going to talk about building your survival hospital. I basically want to talk about your personal, medical kit. I want to talk about what you should have with your family, what you should have in your car. And then I also kind of want to expand it to, if you have like a prepping group, what, you know, your medic, your, you know, survival hospital guy should have. Now, obviously, I'm not a doctor. I'm not giving you medical advice. I'm just telling you what I've read and seen on the internet. I'm giving it to you for entertainment. You can decide what's right and what you want to do with it. But I hopefully will inspire you with new ideas and things you might want to plan and think about. So that's basically where we're at with this. I got all excited. I found a book, which I really, really recommend you all pick up a copy. I put a link to it in the show notes. It's called The Survival Medicine Handbook, and it's by Joseph Alton, MD. Yes, a medical doctor. So he's not just totally crazy shooting from the hip. There's a lady on the internet, the survival nurse or something like that, and I probably should know about her. I see her. She's popped up on, I think they've mentioned her on Doomsday Preppers, or I don't know. Okay. But I've seen her around in the little prepping community, you know?
All right.
Somehow, you know, paths have crossed on the internet.
On the internet.
Not in real life. So I actually was thinking about, after I read a book, and I mentioned it a couple weeks ago about like fish antibiotics and things like that.
Right.
And I was like, you know, it really sounds like a good idea to really have a stockpile of antibiotics. And I was curious, so I started Googling it and searching it. She was one of the first people that came up. And she talked about where to buy them and what type to buy and whatever. I watched some videos. So somehow, whatever links I clicked on with her ended me up at this website called Doom and Bloom. I think it's doomandbloom.net. But whatever it is, it's in the show notes. So you can check it out. Anyway, that's this guy who wrote the Survival Medicine Handbook. He goes into detail on basically all kinds of good stuff. I absolutely think that, you know, this is an essential prep to have this book in, you know, in your stockpile. Basically what he does is he says, look, I'm aware that there might not always be doctors available to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he kind of looks at it as more of a long-term approach. He's not saying, oh, you might be out hunting, you get shot in the leg, and you're going to have to get by because there's no doctor until you get back to civilization. Mm-hmm. He's willing to admit that there are possible scenarios. Maybe you're in a different country. Maybe things turn bad. Maybe you're in Puerto Rico and you're waiting on FEMA to come rescue you. Whatever it is, you might go weeks, months, years without being able to get a licensed doctor. And because of that, he wanted to make that knowledge kind of available to people. So he talks about, look, this is what a doctor would do. This is the prescriptions they would prescribe. If you don't have that, then this is what you need to do. You know, you need to think about things differently. You don't have these antibiotics available to you. You don't have these painkillers. You don't have all these different things, although he tells you how to prepare for such things.
Mm-hmm.
He goes through in extensive detail about essential oils and things like that that you can use for treatments. Again, this is more at the hospital kind of level. And what I mean by that is in your prepper group, the one guy who's the medic, he has the big list of this is what you should have mm-hmm. for essential oils. He has, this is your medicinal garden. You should have all these items. And they're not one or two, three or four things that, you know, are on the list. It's 50 things.
Mm-hmm.
And really plans it out. He talks about medication. A lot of people, you know, think, oh, you know, I had what are all the big drugs like Percocet or whatever, mm-hmm. all the big painkillers, Vicodin, whatever. You get a prescription and you basically don't like the way narcotics make you feel, whatever it is. And you use a quarter, a third, half of your bottle.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with the extra pills? Well, this guy,
Keystrom,
would imply that you hang on to him.
Okay.
Turns out he has big articles and references different, you know, government studies that imply that hard pills really are 90% potent even 20 years later.
Really?
And that any of the hard pills are not really losing their potency.
All right.
Now, I'm not advising you on how to, you know, judge the potency of your pills and whatever,
mm-hmm.
but he definitely makes a strong argument in his book, and he is a doctor, on that there really aren't going to be harmful effects. Worst case would be, you know, losing the potency.
Right.
Now, he definitely says liquids and things like that, that's totally different. Insulin, obviously, totally different, but that's a liquid, you know, that's not... Mm-hmm. We're talking about hard pills. He talks about, you know, the studies.
Right.
Something to think about. So you might want to, you know, kind of hang on to those pills. I don't know what the legality of that is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you want to definitely keep them safe. I mean, it's
something
that kids...
You keep it in the prescription bottle.
Yeah. It's something that your kids can get into. Yeah. Well, I mean, you want to keep it safe.
Most prescriptions I get don't have an expiration on the prescription.
Right. Well, I mean, you just use up what's there while you, well, you've got the prescription, generally speaking. But I know that I've had bottles of Percocet that were unused at the house.
Now, yes, I would agree with you 100%. I heard you say several times you want to keep it locked up and safe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're exactly right. I mean, obviously.
But I've had unused, you know, unused pills around that. You know, I think it'd eventually just get thrown out. I mean,
sure.
A lot of the time they overprescribe pain relief medication
right.
for, you know, the pussies out there and things. But, yeah. I mean, it's not bad to hang on to them,
right.
you know. Keep them in a safe, dry spot and
just
they'll be
there
when you
need
them.
Putting that out there is a possibility. So, and then we are in a minute going to get into antibiotics. He goes into great detail of... the particular uses for each type of antibiotic,
uh-huh.
Actual dosing. I'm going to touch on dosing with some of it. Just telling you what he said. I have no idea. I'm not a doctor. I don't know. I'm just going off what's on his website and in his book. But He even breaks down, you know, for children and different things like that, tells you how to calculate by weight and different things like that, how to, you know, properly dose things. So let's kind of get into it is, I guess, the deal. But he also has videos on sutures and how to, you know, yeah, do stitches and cool things. But let's kind of get into it. So one of the things I got out of the book was how to evaluate a patient. So if you're going to be the medic for your group, one, if you're going to be the medic for the group, I'd really, really, really strongly suggest you take an EMT class or a paramedic class.
At minimum.
You know, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you're got an RN or something to be your person, even better. Nurse practitioner, you know, all these things. They're different levels, you know. Great if you have a doctor in your group, you know, whatever. But minimum. So when you evaluate a person, one of the things you need to keep in mind is you need to be calm. Because when you're calm, the people you're working with are going to stay calm. Mm-hmm. That's going to help their state of mind. It's going to help their stress. It's going to help their healing. It really, it works, you know.
Yeah.
It really spreads. And I know we mentioned it back in that trauma episode we did, you know, way back. But it really is important. The other thing is you want to communicate. You don't just grab somebody's arm and be like, give me that. I'm going to work on this right here or whatever. You want to kind of talk through it. You want to assess, advise, and advocate. And what I mean by that is you look, you see what's going on. You're going to tell them, hey, I'm looking at this. I'm doing this. Now, obviously, you're not trying to get them rattled like, ooh, there's a lot of blood leaking out over here. So I really feel like I need to, you know. But you still want to keep them informed. And if people are not in a position where they can make sound judgments for themselves, have somebody advocate for them, their parent, their brother, their spouse, their whatever. You know, somebody on their behalf, make it a joint effort. It's not your job to decide, you know, what's right for everybody. So then you kind of want to, in this evaluation, you want to check their vital signs. So you're going to look at their pulse. Basically, you know, you guys remember in the trauma episode, I mentioned just touching the forehead, look for the color change or pressing the fingernail. And you'll see that. That'll give you an idea just that their circulation, that their heart's beating.
Mm-hmm.
Two fingers, the inside of the wrist or the side of the neck. The average person at rest is usually 60 to 100 beats a minute. Usually in a stressful situation, you wouldn't be surprised to see a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely on the higher end. Respiration. You want to listen to their breathing. So people normally, you should expect 12 to 18 breaths a minute. You also want to listen for like a whistling or a gurgling noise. If they're breathing so fast that it's over 20 breaths a minute, then they're in distress. There's something wrong that you really need to give attention to. Blood pressure. Blood pressure should be 140 over 90 or less. I mean, absolutely should be less. And if they have very low blood pressure, you want to look for like hemorrhage, shock, you know, like internal bleeding, that kind of stuff.
Right.
You also want to kind of evaluate their mental status. They should be alert. You want to like have them describe, you know, what happened, you know, how'd you get here? How'd this all, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, the details are helpful, but it's more, you're looking for coherent. You're looking for logical thought. Things like that, that's going to give you an idea, you know? And then if not, if that's too much, oh, I have no idea. I just woke up on the ground and whatever, I don't know, which could happen with an electric shock or different things. You know, do you know what your name is? Do you know where you are? Do you know how you got here? What's the year? That kind of stuff. You know, these are things that they should know.
Right.
Again, that's going to help you. The body temperature, another good test should be between 97.5 and 99. If they're 100.4 or higher, they have a fever of some sort, and it's something you need to monitor and kind of worry about. And if it's below 95, mm-hmm. you need to worry about it.
All right.
Another thing in an evaluation is a strength test. You know how like a doctor will grab both your hands and say, pull on my hands or, you mm-hmm. know, keep resistance. You're not looking for how strong or how hard they pull. What you're actually looking for is you want to feel even, on both.
Okay.
You know, same thing. They could push against your hands, pull against your hands. You're just looking for the right and left side of the body to, be together. You've also probably seen when the doctors used to check people out, they'd take the stethoscope and put it in like four or five spots on their chest and listen to them breathe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You see that in the TV shows. Maybe I'm old, but, you're listening for oscillations or like the lung sounds to change. You want it to be consistent and pretty normal wherever right. you go. If you hear different noises as you go
in
about
different spots,
there's something going on there. So that's, you know, that's basically how you're assessing, you know, again, we talked about how to assess trauma. That's a whole different thing. If you want to know about that, you got to go back to the trauma episode. Basically you're looking for bleeding and, you know, rake in the body and things like that. Different kind of thing. But really, if you're the medical guy, should be going beyond me. But the trauma episode did have a lot on checking that out. Next thing. So when you do decide, hey, I'm going to be the guy who, you know, is going to, I don't know, stitch up somebody's finger or, you know, they got stabbed in the side and I need to clean out their nasty flesh wound and mm-hmm. I'm going to sew it back up. All right, cool. Hopefully you know a little bit about what you're doing, but the big thing is, you want to think about cleanliness. Now obviously in a hospital we have sterile. Now sterile means all your instruments are in like an autoclave and, mm-hmm. and, you know, basically a pressure cooker that, you know, kills anything. That's great. That's how you want it to be. That's not necessarily what I would expect in the end of the world. However, I would expect clean. You need to be washing your hands. You need to be washing all your tools. Honestly, if time permits, all your stuff should be, you know, cleaned and sealed prior to the end of the world happening. You should have kind of ready bags for stitches, for whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But again, in the area that you work in, clean. If you put down a clean sheet that was folded up from before things went bad, you're way ahead of the game as opposed to doing it on the kitchen table that's been filthy and hasn't had disinfectants on it since, you know, whatever. You need to just kind of go through these. Believe it or not, they said, according to that guy's book, he says most studies actually show no difference in the success as far as getting infections between clean and sterile.
Okay.
Not clean. We're right. not talking about not washing your hands.
Uh-huh.
We're talking about
not
doing
cleaning,
the best you can.
Butchering a chicken on the kitchen table and then throwing a person up
right.
on top of it.
So I wouldn't be completely distressed about it. He actually, in the book, cites one study where they compared sterile versus clean, and they actually had a higher infection rate in the sterile.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever, that's, you know, you take that with a grain of salt,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, there's probably more in it.
I got to tell you, if I know that you were just operating on the guy who had AIDS or hepatitis or something nasty, mm-hmm. I'd want you at a minimum to try and, like, boil your instruments.
Yeah.
Before, I mean, something. I'd feel better that way.
I'd feel better if you had completely new set.
New
but,
set?
Yeah,
but,
boiling
know,
is better than nothing.
Yeah, I don't know. And, I mean, this stuff probably doesn't, you know, whatever. But again, I'm not the doctor. I'm not the nurse. I know actually after we did the trauma one, I got a bunch of emails that were like, well, why do you think this? Why do you think that? I don't know. I'm just telling you the best that I've learned. And that's all. That's why I'm a little defensive on this. Because, yeah, after the trauma, you guys were hitting me up
yeah.
going.
Well, a lot of these shows are kind of necessary for us to do as far as being a complete prepper podcast that can give you some answers. But, you know, There's only so much we can do. Yeah, you know? Right?
I did read a book. I read. That's what I can give you. I honestly read a book. I watched a bunch of videos. I did some research.
You know, we're going with that. And one of the main reasons that wounds don't heal as fast as they should is because they're not thoroughly cleaned. You really need to make sure the wound is clean before you start dressing it and stitching.
You know, it's funny. The guy shows how to do, you know, sutures, how to do stitches in the book. And he's going through it, and he shows about how if it gets kind of bunched up, you end up with a dead space in between.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, it's going to take forever to heal, and it's going to give you problems and just be a mess, and it's going to make an ugly scar, and it's going to look bad, it's going to be bad. Sure enough, I read it. A day later, my wife has a knee surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And we go, you know, it's on there for 2 days. We take off all the bandages. And I look, and I'm like, that's exactly what he said not to do.
Oh, bunch
this
up
is like
shitty.
Textbook. This is exactly what he said was completely wrong.
Uh-huh.
And we were just like, yep. And it just, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. My wife had surgery. It was last year now. But, yeah, they did a great job with one of them.
Right.
One is all sealed up. You can't even see the scar.
Right.
The other one is like, what? Like, what were you doing?
Well,
you were not paying attention at all?
I'm looking at the cut for the incision.
Mm.
And you would think, like, you're thinking nobody cut that with a scalpel in a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
You must have fallen on broken glass that twisted and turned. And
uh-huh.
It's just unbelievable. I'm mm-hmm. like, well, how? I don't get it. But whatever. I'm just saying. So, you know, there are things we can all learn.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even if you're a medical doctor, you might want to take note on that one.
Yeah. Maybe stitch up a couple of dead pigs. Do a refresher course. At least the doctors we're dealing with, apparently.
So, anyway, so your personal, like, survival bag,
mm-hmm.
Medical kit. Now, this is really just like your backpack, you go hiking, that kind of thing. I already talked about the trauma bag, but you guys know my trauma bag, pretty much chest seal, Israeli bandage, quick clot. Let me think. Chest seal.
Quick clot sponges.
Quick clot sponges, yes.
That's
nice
right.
Nice save there. Also, tourniquet. I have shears. I have a headlight. I have gloves. The one thing that I may not have mentioned in the last one, but I've been seeing that people have, and I think anyone's dumb not to have it, is a little hand sanitizer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not bad, especially when you're in the middle of nowhere.
I mean, the trauma, the gloves. All right, mm-hmm. You got the gloves. Also, I think you guys remember glasses. Or another thing, things splatter and spray up on you in trauma. Mm-hmm. It happens. I also wouldn't think you're wrong if you had a little face mask, the little, you know, white cover your mouth, keep the nasties out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's kind of the trauma bag. So I have my trauma bag in my backpack. Then the other stuff we just talked about. But then when I expand it beyond the trauma bag to my regular medical for just me, I'm going to add like a 4-inch ACE wrap, the big wrap for sprains, mm-hmm. or just keeping your bandages all in when something goes bad, you know, stuff like that. But I want to add eye pads, the little patch throw on there. Eye injuries happen. And also it's nice to kind of be able to stabilize it,
mm-hmm.
like keep your eye from moving and doing things is nice. Steri strips. I know you've heard me rave about them.
Yep.
Super glue, sutures, LED pen light, but again, the headlight might be enough for you. It's up to you. 1-inch medical tape, triple antibiotic, alcohol wipes, burn gel, the hand sanitizer I mentioned, band-aids, gauze, and I actually keep a roll of duct tape with it because it's mm-hmm. a backpack. This is cool for like making splints. That kind of thing.
Right.
There's just a lot of uses. Sealing up. Like, again, you can really bandage wounds. you know, right. you want to throw a pad in there.
If you've got a little bit of gauze
or something,
yeah,
right.
then you've got a bandage there.
That's pretty much it for my, you know, one man backpack kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then we have like a larger one for the nuclear family, right? For your mm-hmm. immediate group you're responsible for. That's when I actually add my first aid book, my survival medicine handbook. That's in the bigger. I'm not carrying
else.
It when I'm out on the trail and it's right. just me. That's just not what I do. Everything that was in my personal bag and my trauma bag mm-hmm. is in the big family one.
Right.
I'm also adding antiseptic wipes, 4x4 gauze, gauze rolls, nonstick pads, a clean bandana. These are just useful for all kinds of different things. Large absorbent pads. I had moleskins, blisters, that kind of thing can really be trouble. So Q-tips, cotton balls, the face mask I talked about, tongue depressor, bandage, scissors, tweezers. A magnifying glass is sometimes nice.
Okay.
Good with the tweezer kind of thing. Various sutures, different sizes, a scalpel, the septic pencils. We talked about those will stop bleeding and different things like that. I know we mentioned them before. A liter of saline.
Yep.
Which it's nice for cleaning out things. It's got a lot of uses there.
Yeah. You know, I actually got an email from Ryan, with a PDF there and talking about, making your own saline solution.
Yeah.
Which, it seems pretty simple here.
All right.
Clean storage container and mixing utensil. Either wash them with a dishwasher or boil them for 5 minutes, the container.
Okay.
Use 1 quart of distilled water or boil 1 quart of tap water for 5 minutes. Add 2 tablespoons of table salt. Mix the water and the salt until it's completely dissolved, cool to room temperature. Now, you could make this, you know, at any point with just salt and clean water. So, I mean, if you know, you don't have saline solution, you don't have something handy to wash a wound out with, you can mix that up yourself and just have as much as you want. You know, two tablespoons of salt for, you know, a quart of water is it'll give you quite a bit of saline solution. So, it's something handy to keep in mind. Some people say sea salt. Some people say table salt. You know,
we'll let you make that call.
You can make
you
that
do your
call
own
yourself.
Internet research. You go.
You do you.
All right. Also, one thing I think I forgot to mention ever in the past is a thermometer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They just seem breakable and scare me. But
well, they don't. I don't think they use mercury anymore on this.
Okay. Three.
Oh, and fun fact. Apparently, if you swallow mercury, not super bad for you.
Really?
It just goes right through your system. It goes right back out. The problem is when mercury turns into a vapor and you inhale it, that's when it really starts fucking you up and you go crazy and, you know, like the Mad Hatters and all
I like
that
it.
Stuff.
We should do an episode on the Mad Hatter.
Mm. Mm.
All right. Hydrogen peroxide, sunblock, witch hazel, antifungal, lip balm, insect repellent, cortisone, lidocaine, Motrin, Tylenol, aspirin.
Now, let's talk real quick about Tylenol, aspirin, ibuprofen. I'm actually an idiot because for years, up until maybe like 3 months ago, I always thought ibuprofen was ibuprofen. That's how you spelled
no.
it? No. It's IBU. Ibuprofen. It's all one word. But anyway, it's good for fever reducer and anti-inflammatory. Now, sometimes, obviously, fever reducers are important. But you're going to get fever reducing from aspirin also. So that's something to keep in mind. Now, ibuprofen and Tylenol. Both good anti-inflammatory. Just keep in mind that Tylenol can thin your blood. So if you've got a wound that's bleeding, probably stick to the aspirin and ibuprofen. All right. Obviously they're all good for, you know, pain, and that's that's what you're primarily looking for.
Nice. Now, I also saw Rid shampoo. Nobody wants head lice.
You know, and that's a pretty good point. I never thought about it because we live in this sterile world where we're all, right. You know, there's no lice.
But
you just
take
a hot shower and soap
them. As a parent who's put 4 kids through high school,
mm-hmm.
I can tell you that right now you can go in my house and there's anti-lice stuff in there
because
you don't. It's always freaking 11 o'clock at night. You have some kid come out of the bedroom and go, yeah, my head's really been itching for like the last week. And you need to do something. And you look and you just see the bugs crawling around in there. You're like, no.
Now.
And there's nobody, even if Walmart or whatever's open, you don't want to go out at freaking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I actually found, believe it or not, most of the, I'm sure your other schools, you've experienced the same type of thing. There's now like Rid resistant lice.
Oh, great.
There's all kinds of lice that don't, succumb to these. So there's something called Fairy Tales shampoo, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I get. I think you can buy it off Amazon or whatever. And some of the places carry it. But the shampoo works. And if they wash their hair with it every day, they just go away. It's good.
Okay.
And it works against the, you know, but you still, you got to comb it out. That's the big thing. Like, believe it or not, it's not even, I mean, they're all going to tell you, any doctor or whatever, I'm sure, like, oh, you need Rid, you need whatever.
Right.
But you need to sit and comb out all the damn things, and you got to get all of them. And then you go send your kid to go wash their hair, and then you look again. And then tomorrow you do the same thing. If you combed it out every day for like 4 days and you washed all their stuff and put it in the freaking dryer, they'd go away. But it's work. It's not a fun time.
Right.
But I got to say, having that, big help when it's a problem.
Yeah. Now, worst case scenario, you can actually shave your head.
Oh.
You can do that.
That's
an
option.
And that will get rid of lice. Now, obviously, a 17-year-old girl that's going to high school in this day and age is not going to want you to shave her head. But, you know.
Apocalypse.
It's an option.
Yeah, now what? They're going to want me to shave my beard after that? Whoa.
That's not
going
to happen.
There you go. Pepto-Bismol, water purification tablets, gold bond powder, birth control of some sort.
You decide
what's right for you there. Having the right pills, having prophylactics, any of that kind of stuff. I mentioned the herbs and oils. You kind of got to pick through on your own what you want there. Also, anti-diarrhea or gel.
Actually, the anti-diarrhea one is one you overlook. It's something that you can just, you know, today you can just run out to the drugstore and get it. It's not a big deal. But, you know, the truth is 520,000 kids under the age of 5 die every year, due to diarrhea, due to dehydration from diarrhea. 520,000 kids every year under the age of 5. So, I mean, it's, when things go down and the drugstore isn't open, that's definitely something you want to have in your medicine cabinet.
And last but not least, I have Lotrimin, which is your athlete's foot powder spray.
Now, when I was
you don't want athlete's foot.
No, and that's honestly, that's not pleasant. It's
and
not
it's
pleasant.
It's a fungus.
If you know.
It's hard to get rid of if you don't have.
Right. Now, one of the things I did see is Equilox, which is a laxative.
Oh.
And laxatives. You know, most people drink coffee and keep their bowels moving right. But I did see this in what this drug treats. This laxative, it will reduce rectal damage due to hard stools.
Oh.
Now, I don't know much about, I'm not no doctor.
But you don't want nothing tore up?
That doesn't sound pleasant to me. So just, keep that in mind. Maybe have some laxatives handy.
When somebody's like, my butt is tore up.
I think I have some serious rectal damage.
Now we get to talk about antibiotics. One of the things you need to be aware of is check to see if people are allergic. You should actually ask this question beforehand.
And you should know this about yourself.
Yes. Now, a lot of the times, the things you're looking for are rash, diarrhea, or just like itchiness. If they complain about any of this stuff and it wasn't there before when you start doing the antibiotics, you need to stop right away. You do not want to keep going down that road and cause more problems than you already started. Now, one of the big things is there's a bunch of different antibiotics, and this gives you options.
Okay, for different types of things?
Well, I'm saying for the same that overlap.
If you're allergic to one.
To look for allergies and that kind of thing. So, first one I want to talk about is amoxicillin. So there's a product called Fishmox, which is amoxicillin. Now, again, this is from the Patriot nurse lady there, from this doctor's book. Basically, if you go to the pharmacy, a lot of times they'll come from Thomas Labs, and that's who's making the amoxicillin. This guy talks about, he's like, oh, when I wanted to pick out which ones I'd recommend to people and talk about, he goes, I bought a container, and I got a container from my pharmacy. I made sure the pills were the same color, the same size, had the same numbers and markings, and they came out of the same lab.
So it's exactly the
same. And they have the same doses. And so these are ones that he verified. I don't know. I'm just telling you what, you know, he's reporting. They sell that in both a 250 milligram or a 500 milligram. The 500 milligram is Fishmox Forte. And basically, any adult, you're going to be looking for the 500 milligram. Mm-hmm. But guess what? You can cut pills in half, or you can double a dose. You can do math all by yourself. So, you know, that's your call. Usually with amoxicillin, you should see improvement within 3 days.
Okay.
You know you're on the right path, you know, whether or not. Typically, amoxicillin, most prescriptions will be 3 times a day. For 10 to 14 days.
Okay. And you want to keep taking it that whole span.
All the way through. Again, the 10 to 14 days, it's going to be kind of decided by your supply.
Right.
Is the bottom
line. That's
true. Yep. But you don't want to do less than the 10 days or you're just wasting it kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you got to finish it out. Now, amoxicillin is something you would treat anthrax.
Oh, I didn't know that was a
chlamydia.
All right. And the world, everybody's getting crazy.
Urinary tract infection, Lyme disease, pneumonia, sinusitis, bronchitis, tonsillitis.
Mm-hmm.
Any of these itises?
Iditis.
All right. Really just, I can just say, vouch for the ones there. Those I got from the good doctor.
Mm-hmm.
The rest, when I said any of the itises, I was just making shit up.
So okay.
Just putting that out there. That one is safe during pregnancy, is what he said. What's next? Ciprofloxacin, which is called Fishmox.
Mm-hmm.
This is usually 500 milligrams twice a day, 7 to 14 days. It's bladder or urinary tract infections.
Okay.
Prostate infection, pneumonia, acute sinusitis, cellulitis, infectious diarrhea.
Ooh.
That's no good.
That's a rough one.
Inhalation anthrax. However, the caveat, you want to take it for 60 days.
60 days for the
with
anthrax.
With inhalation anthrax.
Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, if you inhale anthrax, you're going to be lucky to make it to day one. But
you know,
I think most of the people in the big scare a couple years ago where somebody was mailing anthrax
right.
to everybody, and we still have no idea who it was.
Yeah. They were
most of those people managed to be okay because they got immediate care, but there were a few people that died before they even got to the hospital. So, I mean, that's just something to keep in mind when it comes to inhaling anthrax. I don't know how common that is going to be in your future, but there you go.
Now you know. Knowing is half the battle, right? So that's what I got on that one.
Now,
that
you're
was
saying
twice a day,
that
7
I can
to 14
get
days. Yes.
Fish mocks?
Yes.
And I can buy this on
yes,
the internet
and, store
and
it.
Have it
yes.
shipped to my house and store it in my cabinet.
And completely legal, yes.
And I don't need a prescription yes. from a fish doctor.
Now you're getting it.
All right.
So I will actually have a link in the show notes.
All right.
Now,
excellent.
I do have to point out it's not the cheapest stuff in the world.
No?
Basically, they put together like three or four. I think it's like every one of these. The amoxicillin, the Cipro. And the cephalexin and doxycycline. I think it's all of them. Maybe it's three of them. I don't know. You got to look at it. But it's like $250.
Okay.
I got a 10% off coupon for you there. I threw on there, but it's still $220. Yeah. But I got to say, infection's going to be one of the things that do you in.
That's
going to
be
the
chief
world.
Killer. I think
and
when it comes to that, that and illness.
Those pharmacies aren't opening back up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the end of the world comes, you might get your, like, black market kind of
yeah,
thing.
You're going to have a few drugs floating around, but they're going to be limited and not going to last long.
So I got to say, if you're serious about prepping and you really believe that, you know, the end of the world is imminent, I would say you're kind of crazy not to have it. Mm-hmm. If you think, well, it's a long shot and I'm covering 80% of things and whatever, then maybe I wouldn't spend $250.
Yeah, it's a lot of money to spend.
It's a lot of money. I can't make that decision for you. It's really what are you worried about, you know?
Right.
You got to make that call on your own. So next one is cephalexin, which is fish flex or fish flex forte. Same thing, that's dosing is the, you know, the difference. It's good for ear infections, infected cuts, something I can't read. Oh, sore throat.
Okay, that's when you write your own notes, that's what happens, huh?
Kidney infection.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That would be something every 6 hours for 7 to 14 days.
Okay.
So you see a lot of these, you're burning through some pills.
Right.
So keep that in mind when you're ordering, doxycycline. This, you need to be 8 years or older, one time a day, 7 to 14 days.
Okay.
This one is good with penicillin allergies, but again, these are just my notes. Buy a book, do your research. If you're allergic to something or you're planning on being pregnant or any of these things,
mm-hmm.
do some research.
Right.
But I'm just giving you what I got out of this book. And
okay.
like I said, I recommend you get your own copy. Now, that's good for E. coli. This is doxycycline. E. coli, Lyme disease, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, anthrax again, the plague, pneumonia, malaria, parasitic worms.
Okay.
So a lot of fun things. All right, we talked about expiration dates on pills. I think we are nearing the end. That is the end of my notes. So what else you got?
Excellent. Well, there's some big news I think we need to discuss.
Some news. All right, what's going on in the world?
Well, one, Larry Nassar, the guy that was molesting all the gymnasts.
Yes.
175 years.
I already, all right.
That's one for
and
justice.
And that's in addition to his 60 years he already got for child porn he had.
Ooh. All right. Good.
Yeah, no. He was already convicted on that one.
Dirty pedophilia pervert.
I don't know what.
Do they send him to a special jail? Because I feel like I want to shank him and I'm not even in prison.
Maybe you can go visit, get like a day pass.
Day pass to the pedophile jail? Where do they keep them all? Maybe they bunch them all up?
That sounds wrong.
I don't know. NSA updated its website.
What'd they say?
Adjusted its core values.
Yeah.
It used to be honesty, respect for the law, integrity, and transparency.
Now wait, before you say anything, let me guess. Is honesty gone?
Knocked it right off.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, it's not something I was expecting would have been in their core values to begin with, but they made sure.
It's definitely not there now.
They crossed it
and
off.
And I gotta say, when you, and they probably like left it up there, not just has one line through it.
No, they replaced it with commitment to service.
Ah, yep. And that
so
is
they,
more
you gotta
important.
Replace it. You can't just take something away. People, it'll be too obvious.
When it comes
people
off
like me
the wall
won't catch
and
ya.
They see the letters kind of bleeding through in the shadow on the paint.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that happens.
So that's big news.
Right.
Also, on a sadder note, 12 camels were disqualified from the Saudi Arabia beauty contest. They have a beauty contest for camels. 12 of them were disqualified because they were given Botox.
Ooh.
Somebody was Botoxing their camel lips.
They were like, oh, yeah.
They apparently
lush.
they trim their ears too to make them look more delicate. Apparently, delicate ears is a thing.
Delicate ears.
I mean, I don't, you know, I'm not physically attracted to camels, but I'm not making judgments about anybody that
but
is.
But if you were, you'd want them to be delicate ears.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want wrinkly lips and noses. That's for damn sure. So that's
all right.
That's out
so
there.
You're caught up on things.
Canada has come in number one, ranked number one in a list of countries that care most about international rankings.
Yeah.
So go Canada.
Go Canada.
Now the thing is they've been doing this, running this list for 35 years and, Canada is the 35th this is their 35th consecutive win. Out of 35 years. I don't know why they're so interested in being on the top of international ranking lists, because they don't come in number
one
in very many
like,
spots.
We're ranking other nations, and we just want to know, how much do you care about us ranking other nations?
Yeah, that's...
And Canada's like,
I really care what other people think about us. Now,
nice.
They are like number one in household indebtedness.
Oh,
so, I mean, that's something to... be proud of, right?
Surprise, we don't have that market corner.
No. Number two on the list of coming in close, not even a close second. I was going to say a close second. Not a close second to Canada. North Korea.
Really?
Number three, Russia. And coming in dead last, the USA. Now, you could say...
Wait, dead, on caring what other countries
on caring
think?
What other countries.
Okay.
So you could say... America is dead last on caring what other countries think.
Because we don't give a...
Or we're first in not giving a fuck about what other countries think.
So we could have, like, on our flag a little note at the bottom that says, like,
we
zero
don't care
fucks
what you think.
Given. Yeah.
So, nice. I mean, that was a YNR... YNR's BAV group that did this ranking list. They've been doing
Excellent.
It for 35 years, so... Congratulations,
now,
Canada, on
what
your
do you
35th
do when
win.
When you're ranked 35th for not caring, does that mean they call?
Oh, no, it's not 35th. This is all the countries.
Oh, all the
this
countries.
This is like 260th
oh, okay.
we're
all
coming
right.
in.
So does that mean they call and they're like, so we're doing a survey, and we're like, fuck you. We just hang up.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
they're like, that guy does not care.
That's pretty much it. I mean, that's what I do. When somebody calls me and say we're conducting a survey,
they're
I hang
like,
up the phone.
This guy does not care about this survey.
I don't even say anything. I just hang the phone up. It's not even it's a non-issue. So
all right.
So that's the headlines, guys.
I like
you know,
now, hopefully
gotta,
I didn't
gotta keep
bore
track
you guys too much with this. I know nobody wants to learn about medical stuff.
Right.
And,
it's not
I
sexy,
mean,
is it?
It's not sexy. Well, the thing is, like, maybe if we, like, actually did a surgery
mm-hmm.
during the podcast.
That would be pretty dope.
That would. I mean, that would be sexy and entertaining. But just being like, yeah, you know, you guys need to get some Band-Aids. Then I understand. I hear you. I just feel like... we're remiss, you know, if we don't say it.
Yeah, well, I've been curious about the fish antibiotics for a long time. It's something
it actually,
that's always bothered
yeah,
me that
I
didn't
kind
know
of
about.
Was like, oh, what could we get, right?
Uh-huh.
And I definitely got a link there for you. And somehow we don't get any money from that.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the discount code. I think it actually makes money for the Patriot Nurse Girl. So I don't even know what, you know, what's going on there. But...
There Whatever. You go. So that's it. We got an email from, I'm going to say Yana.
Oh, Yana.
That's a guess on how to pronounce it. I think that's a Eastern name. Not really sure. Regardless.
Like New Jersey.
I hope I didn't butcher your name. But right. She was asking about, we had mentioned a home security
episode.
Yeah, we made a reference to it. It's actually called Hardening Your Location. That's episode 89. So if you go, if you want to go back and take a look at it.
There's a home security.
Is there one
that's
home security?
Episode like 6 or 8.
Oh, early on?
And guess what? It's out 3 days before this one.
Oh, really? We're letting that one go early?
It's out Thursday the 25th.
Okay, so that was one of the ones that were dropped recently.
That was one of the ones dropped.
Okay, all right. We also did perimeter alarms. That was 67. So if you want to go back, harden up your house, you got questions about it, there you go. That's your answer.
Well, she's going to be pleased when she goes to check for her new downloads, and she's going to be like, what?
There it is.
There it is.
Seth's Spain Eye still doing his thing out there in Oregon, making custom-made knives. So if you guys want to go down his Facebook page, check that out. Is there anything else we want to touch on?
I think that's it. I think you guys know that we have that Patreon page.
Mm-hmm.
Feel like you want to support us, maybe $2 a month. What the hell? $3 a month.
Get flashy.
You know, hey, whatever. You want to do that? Head over to patreon.com. You guys can hook us up. Also, if you wanted to join our Facebook group, it's starting to grow a little bit. I think we're like 85, 86 members, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah, on the Facebook group. There's quite a few people on the Facebook
Murray
page
Mayhem
itself.
Murray Mayhem making some videos.
Yep, yep.
I don't know if you guys know, but he actually mentioned Game Day episode. Yeah, little plug for us.
Mm-hmm.
We were pleased, happy to see it. Also, there's a lot of good stuff on there. Plus, I share a bunch of nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
On our regular Facebook page, I share stuff. Just you don't always get to see it. You gotta actually like go to the page and kind of scroll through, and then you can catch my antics.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I do occasionally post a political thing. I really keep it at a minimum. But like, I think when the government shut down, I had to post some kind of picture of Chuck Schumer being like, well, I'm getting paid.
Listen,
I got in trouble. Well, I didn't get in trouble this time, mm-hmm. but in the past. But here's the thing. Here's what you guys don't know. If I post political things, everybody comments and everybody posts shit and gets angry and they share it with their friends because they're so angry.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's how we get new listeners.
Uh-huh.
And
now, I mean, I don't want to make it a political podcast, and a lot of people want us to, but I do. Every time I see Chuck Schumer, I want to punch him in his face.
Because,
you know,
feeling.
He was that asshole that brought up the net neutrality law 4 years ago. He brought it up. He crafted the bill. And now he's like, look at what the Republicans are doing. So fuck you, Chuck Schumer.
Oh, a little
He's
hostile.
My senator. He's my senator that's
He's
doing this.
He's not a very good senator.
No.
That's what I got to
no.
tell you.
No, he told Donald Trump if he didn't want to be perceived as a racist, he needed to vote for his bill. That's not
it.
How racism works.
No?
Racism doesn't work that way.
There
you
is
don't
no
not
way
be a racist by voting for bills.
Especially bills put up by old white guys.
Yeah.
But what I have to point out is this government shutdown, yes, it is also because a bunch of Republicans have their heads up their ass, too. So, whatever. Don't think I was going after just Democrats. I hate all of the congressmen.
I hate all of them.
They all piss me off. Any given Sunday, you know, that one of them pisses me off.
You're not a sexist if you hate both the sexes.
There you go.
So, if you want to get a hold of us, send us an email at preppingbadass@gmail.com.
Kevin likes getting those emails. We have gotten a lot of emails this week.
We have gotten a lot this week.
We do appreciate it. We listen to all of them. Kevin keeps them dear to his heart.
Mm-hmm. And I respond to them, make comments about them.
In a slow,
make fun
casual
of you.
Fashion.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a crazy person on my phone every day. That's
right.
You know,
baby
hit or
steps.
Miss.
I see him and I start freaking out. And I'm like, oh, he didn't respond to that email.
There's two in there.
Oh my God, what's happening? But anyway, so and yeah, with that, stay safe, and we'll talk to you guys next week.